also make the Federal Reserve responsible for the entire payment and settlement system in the United States. A payment and settlement system is when you buy stock from this brokerage firm, you send your money to the brokerage firm. There is an intermediate company, a payment and settlement system. And when you send your money, there's a three-day settlement. That stock then opens up an account for you, and you see what you bought in that account. Okay, you all have, most of you have brokerage accounts of some kind. Everything that happens, everything that is transacted in your brokerage account is through the payment and settlement system. The Federal Reserve is going to be given oversight. They will be made the market stability regulator. And what they've been doing is injecting a lot of liquidity into the system. They are looking to give us economic stability, they tell us. And they will take an expanded number of mortgages and other kinds of assets as collateral. And you can see here in March, they lent a total of $436 billion. They took control of Fannie and Freddie. They made a bridge loan to AIG. They opened just Tuesday or Wednesday. For the first time, they opened a 24-hour access worldwide to central bank funds. And they also injected, this was $180 billion yesterday. This morning, it's $300 billion into the global system. Okay? They're busy printing treasury bills. Why? Everybody thinks they're as safe as the federal government. Okay? Again, they are transferring the last vestiges of our economic sovereignty that they do not currently have control over. The other thing they're doing is they're creating a global central bank. And I've been watching for this for the last 14 years. And it's been coming, and I've seen it, but not enough to say, here it is. I've written about it, and I basically said the Bank for International Settlements was going to be the world central bank. And here it is, Financial Times 12/03. The Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of England make a joint assault. This article was a letter to the editor of the Financial Times on August 11th, 2008. Time to turn the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, into a global central bank. I said, yep, there it is. A global central bank, the Bank for International Settlements. So what have we seen? We are seeing now in the infusion of a large amount of capital globally. In December, it was the Federal Reserve, the European Central Bank, and the Bank of Japan. In September, it was a few more central banks with the promise that Hong Kong, South Korea, and Taiwan would aid Japan, Australia, and India. That was the second infusion. Then we had the mortgage crisis in March, and central banks worldwide were looking to see what they could do. September 16th, we had 11 international banks create a $77 billion fund so that any type of international bank that was going to get in trouble could go there and get bailed out. And so you see some of the large central banks there, Bank of America, Barclays, Deutsche Bank, JP Morgan, Royal Bank of Scotland, Citigroup, Merrill Lynch. They're all there. What did Karl Marx say? Karl Marx said, by means of the banking system, the distribution of capital is taken out of the hands of the private capitalists and users. But at the same time, banking and credit thus become the most effective means of driving capitalistic production beyond its own boundaries and one of the most potent instruments of credits of crises and swindles. Believe me, I've been overtaken this week as I put this together. The result of Fed empowerment, as the Washington Post said, Paulson and Bernanke have taken the lead not only from lawmakers but from President Bush. Bush has left direct management of the crises to them. In summary, there's no way I can ever summarize all of the ramifications. I can tell you some of them that I think, but there'll be far more. Over the last 95 years, the Congresses and the presidents of the United States have voted away their powers to the Federal Reserve, rendering themselves powerless and ineffectual in stopping any crises or the raping, robbing, and pillaging of America. For the first time, America's assets are unprotected, opening her up to any type of manipulation from more powerful forces. The Federal Reserve has unlimited money. They print it, we pay interest on it, and thereby creating perpetual debt. We are there. Every aspect of the financial system is under total control by evil people who will direct and can oversee and determine any and all buying and selling. Is this prophetic? We are there. This is, again, the first time since Rome the world has effectively been moved under total control of people who oppose truth. The lies, the deceit, the deception, the distortion on ABC, NBC, CBS, any other station I forgot to mention, including the Business Channel, is unparalleled. I listen to them and I just shake my head. For the last 2 weeks, I've had two computers going. One to buy and sell securities for my clients, and by the way, I moved them out of the market gradually over the last 6 weeks. And over here, to transcribe the lies, the deceit, the deception, the distortion that I heard in major interviews on CNBC. We are there. We are on target now. They're taking control of the entire regulatory system. They're printing money in a way that they never have before. They're bringing us into total bondage, and we are on target for a global tax. You listen very carefully to Obama. Obama has suggested a 28% capital gains tax whenever you sell your house. At this point, it's if and when you can sell your house. Global Stock Exchange, I've been writing and talking about that for years, going as far back as 1998. A global accounting system. The Security and Exchange Commission has just agreed to install or change from generally agreed accounting principles, GAAP, here in the U.S., to international accounting principles by 2014. Global currency. Let me just talk as we wind up of regional currencies. The euro was the first area, 15 countries, to be moved into the European Union, and they adopted their currency, the euro, a joint currency in 1999. We talked about these other countries. The free trade areas of the Americas was begun in 1994 by President Clinton. I missed the first meeting, but I went to two of the free trade areas of the Americas meetings. And it was there at the second meeting that I learned that they would be looking to have a common currency for our entire hemisphere. How do you think they're going to do this and get the American people to agree except to have a major credit crisis? Okay? When you change the value of our currency, you debase our currency, and you and I will never ever be able to, if you will, live free. During an interview with former Federal Reserve Chairman Paul Volcker several years ago, he told me we need a global currency. And when I talked to him about what did he have in mind, because I mentioned the special drawing rights, he basically said to me, well, actually, when I said to him and I counted with the special drawing rights, which I'll explain in a minute, he turned his back. Now, to understand how profound that was, I'm 5 feet and he's close to 7 foot. When Paul Volcker turns his back on you, the interview is over. You're supposed to laugh at that. In order to have a global currency, you have to first create a regional currency, the Amero, or that's what everybody says it's going to be called for our hemisphere, the Euro, and then the combination of the Yen and the Yuan. From there, you can then go to possibly the special drawing right, which is a basket of 5 currencies and is considered the form of currency for the Bank for International Settlements and for the International Monetary Fund. So I think the special drawing right or a basket